Blog Talk Radio.
To all of our listeners, you are listening to, of course, the George Foster Diamond Report, where all bases are covered. And as many of you know, All-Star Weekend is right at the corner, coming up this weekend in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello, Coach Foster.
Good evening, everybody. I hope you had a great Sunday.
Yes, and it was also the 4th of July, and I actually was able to go to a baseball game. The Nats play the Giants, which was a big, big crowd. Lots of people were there, filled stadium, and the Nats brought it home with a big W, 9-3. And actually, they're playing right now. So, tonight we have great discussion on All-Star Weekend, of course, and we're going to talk about some of the chosen players, whether Coach Foster thinks those are the best choice or maybe they've overlooked some players. But before we get into tonight's topic, I want to, of course, look and speak about what is going on in the nation's baseball news. First, let's talk about going on the DL. I mean, when you're at this point in the game, in the season, and you're getting injured, what should your mindset be to make sure that you just are not giving up? And also, like, what if you were supposed to be playing a part with the All-Star game and you become on DL? Just an example, Strasburg, and I saw him on Saturday, he only played to the fourth inning, and they pulled him out, and then they reported that Jamie Garcia is going to the DL as well. So how do you handle that?
Well, you got to try to get yourself healthy and doing the things that the doctors ask you to do, and hopefully you'll be, if you're on the DL, of course, you're going to be on that 15-day DL, and you have to be on it until those certain days are up, then you may go to a rehab assignment. But it all depends on the player and also the team itself. With a pitcher, maybe not as much. Usually a hitter, if they take that time frame off, they lose timing at the plate, so they want them to go to the minor leagues and get some at-bats. But it's you just have to be patient with yourself and not getting frustrated, knowing that the injury's there, not doing what you're able to do to get healthy and to stay healthy the rest of the year.
And, of course, this also changes the dynamic of the team. And if you're playing all together for months upon months and then they're out of that rotation, it sort of changes that natural flow. And from the manager's perspective, they're going to have to make a hard decision for even when that certain individual has come back, they may not be able to be in that rotation. For example, they're saying that CC Sabathia would skip.
Well, it's when one would talk about winning or having a good season, I always use the words staying healthy. And that's something that some people take for granted at times, but staying healthy is very important. And you're not going to be 100% healthy every time you go out there or something. Maybe you maybe have a soreness here or there, but you being able to, some of the injuries you have to play through. But in this situation with Strasburg or with John Carlos and to a degree Matt Holliday, they're not able to play through. They need to take the rest. In John Carlos's case, the hand injury, so he's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. So it's something that you don't want to rush. That's in that he may come back and injure his hand again, because you can say that's what he throws with and what's what he swings with. And Strasburg, it's they said the obliques usually it's in the core. They're not working as hard to strengthen up that core. They need to work on their flexibility more so. But guys need to find things that's going to keep them healthy day in and day out and stay on that routine.
And exactly what you mentioned, routine. I mean, not to discredit any of the injuries that have been reported to these players, but isn't there also a way for advice for the younger players who may be in college or aspiring to become pro to build and strengthen that foundation from day one, even throughout their high school and minor league or when they're on a farm team or college career, to build that strong foundation and having that sort of that strong habit, that healthy habit?
There is information out there, but it's talking to people who have experienced it. A lot of times they're working with trainers and it's okay, but the trainers are not able to maybe teach them the muscle movement that they need for if it's pitching or throwing or hitting. So you just talk to people who have gone through that. I mean, starting having good mechanics, starting at a young age, you can do that. I mostly suggest when you get around 11 or 12 years of age, you can start doing things to help with your flexibility, not doing it just during the off season, but carry it through the regular season so that now your body's adjusted to it. And a lot of guys, they don't do a lot of stretching, which is not good. And once they pull something, it's going to take longer to recover. So just starting that routine day in and day out, they figure that it's an extra time they need to take, but it's something that they need to do to maintain staying healthy.
That's certainly true. And what were some routine or habits that you developed personally that probably weren't a part of the traditional trainer's practices? Did you have anything that you sort of brought in?
I would do my extra running. I may run before, I may run after the game, but mostly run before on the major league level, doing my from foul pole to foul pole, doing 4 to 6 sprints during spring training. If team is not part of the team's conditioning, I would do it on my own because I know what I need to do to get ready. And there are times that I did run sprints after, mostly in spring training after a game. But I know what my body needs to feel like, so it let me know that when I'm ready to go out there and play, because you can easily pull something if you're not doing the things, practicing the things in practice that you're going to utilize in a game situation. Or with my arm, make sure I'm throwing a lot, because I know once I get a callus on my finger, then I know, knowing that my arm is starting to get in shape. And taking batting practice, when I start getting calluses on my hand, I knowing that I'm ready, my hands are becoming tough. So a lot of guys, they wait to spring training to try to get in shape, and at times they can get by with that, but just develop a routine, because it's your career. You want to be able to go out there and do things you need to do to keep yourself healthy.
Yeah, and that's really important. I mean, they lose sight. It's easy to lose sight of it when you're just thinking about game to game, week to week, what number you're ranked amongst all the other teams, who's in first place, who has the contingency to make the playoffs. But you always have to think about your own personal status and really understanding how you're feeling and whether it's a good idea to maybe take a break or go hard, or just dismiss the small injury and still keep going. And of course, in the news, they did speak about injuries, but the main thing what everyone is talking about is the All-Star Weekend. So we're going to get right to it. As you know, everyone, All-Star Weekend, as well as the game, is being played in Cincinnati, Ohio. Just some history. I know all of our audience knows, but the Major League Baseball All-Star Game was also known as the Midsummer Classic, and it's an annual baseball game, which is sanctioned, of course, by the MLB between the National League and the American League, which currently is selected by fans for starting fielders and then by managers for pitchers and players for reserves. Last year, they did have the controversy on what you talked about as a dual game. That was 2014.
What's that?
The dual game when they tied.
Oh, right. That was back in Milwaukee earlier than that when they had the tie. Oh. So the commissioner, to placate the fans and that try to make the game more than so-called exhibition game, and now whoever wins the American or National League win the game, they get the home field advantage.
Exactly, and that, I guess, it puts a little bit more fire in the engine and has more people paying attention to the game, because it seems as though not as many people are into the All-Star Weekend as opposed to the actual season.
Right. Well, it's like I put it as an exhibition game, and it's a time to rest, per se. You don't want to go out there. To me, it's just a game. It doesn't matter as far as the season is concerned. It doesn't count towards win and loss as far as your team is concerned. So you want to go out there and play well, but not go out there and put yourself in a situation that's going to put yourself in harm's way.
What was your approach when you're coming upon All-Star Weekend and knowing the fact that you still have to be strong afterwards because you're still in the middle of the season?
Well, it's a little different now when we played as far as the All-Star game. Now, we didn't have the home run hitting contest. We didn't have the futures game. So it's more celebrated as a fan attraction, a fan fest, compared to when we were playing. So we would just go to the ballpark and take batting practice and do what you need to do to make sure you maintain. But I not only got to try to get myself ready for the All-Star game, but make sure that I still maintain that timing and conditioning for the regular season, because you're going to have those 3 days off, and you want to be able to do something, because right when the season does start, you want to be ready to go right away. So it's but if you didn't make the All-Star team, your team, you would have a batting practice probably that Wednesday. I was glad that when I didn't make the All-Star team, that we were starting the season up at home compared to having to go travel on the road to start the second half. So it's just still doing your running, your throwing, your hitting to get ready for that second half.
Yeah, maintaining that career. What are your thoughts about them incorporating the youth hitting challenge? They're adding a lot of different type of exhibition games in addition to the main All-Star game.
Well, they have a futures game, so they look at that as being they have home run hitting contests in various, like if you have a minor league All-Star teams, they would have home run hitting contests, but I don't know if they have it for the futures, because I hadn't really paid a lot of attention to even watching the game as far as the future for future players were concerned. But having activities like that is a big boost for them. They get a chance to not only play in that ballpark and see in a home run hitting contest how far they can hit the ball.
Yeah, that's true. Being surrounded by players who they aspire to be, it definitely puts things into perspective. of course, hearing, and they'll be revealing, I believe, tonight as well as tomorrow, the final roster. But have there been any of the players that you expected to be in there in the a part of the roster, or any players that you felt like got overlooked possibly, or were they pretty accurate?
Well, as far as the starters, it's more the fans selecting, but the rest of the roster will not be selected until tomorrow. So I'm just curious on what players the manager will select to put on the team. The National League starters, they're pretty much on, because guys who made it are guys who have good stats. A lot of times guys will make it as a starter because they're more popular. Like D. Gordon for the Marlins, you make it at second base, and there are other guys that may well, like a Brandon Phillips, being more popular, he may have gotten it over D. Gordon, but fans are picking guys who not only they want to see, but guys who have the stats to make it.
So they're doing their homework now.
They're doing their homework, but I just still look at, even like when you vote for if it's the president of the United States or vote for a senator or a congressman, it's still more what's the popular vote. But in baseball, and they're going to gather all these votes, but then they still, I feel, they sit down and look at what's best for baseball. And and even though Brandon Phillips may have gotten more votes than D. Gordon, it's almost like they have their own voting. They look at what the fans say and then look at their consensus, and then I think sometimes they may decide themselves who should be there. Like Todd Frazier, which with the Reds, he was so far behind from Carpenter, and now he's going to be the starting third baseman. So they look at the fact that I think if the All-Star game was not played in Cincinnati, Todd Frazier may have not made it as a starter. With the All-Star game being played in Cincinnati, it's a form of having a player from the Reds starting, representing the Reds.
Yeah, home team advantage.
Because the guy from Colorado, I feel he has better stats than Frazier, but I'm happy for Frazier making the team. But the guy, the third base for Colorado, he has better stats. And I said the guy who has the better stats should be there, compared to popularity or politics.
That's certainly true. I completely agree. What are your, if you had a choice, what would be the most exciting All-Star game out of all All-Star games?
Well, I have to look, for me, when I played, I guess the most exciting one, of course, the first one had to be the most exciting. And, of course, when you win and you become the MVP of that game, it's when you're not playing, you want to have a good game. You don't want to have a pitcher's game. You don't want to have a slugfest. You want to have a competitive game. And so fans want to see everybody out there playing. But I would have to go way back with Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Homer Killebrew, Ernie Banks. I mean, that's a Hall of Fame lineups that you have those guys out there playing. So it's going back in the history, looking at those guys, and Mickey Mantle or Whitey Ford or Roger Maris, and you have the best of the best.
I mean, that's the epitome of what an All-Star game should be. And, I mean, with playing at in Cincinnati, there's a lot of history with the game there, and they'll be honoring. Can you speak upon who they'll be honoring, and is it going to be different from most All-Star weekends, or is there something special about this weekend?
I don't know what they have in store, what's going to be unveiled. I think the best one thus far, when they announced the All-Century team, naming guys from the history of the game, named as far as the All-Century team. So that was a gathering of a lot of top players on that field. So with in Cincinnati. I'm not sure what they're, if they're going to honor the Big Red Machine or the 90 team or what. So it's all up in the air until maybe the last couple of days when they figure out what they're going to do. Since baseball started in Cincinnati, hopefully they can come up with something that's going to help honor a player like a Chuck Harmon, who one of the first African-American players to play with the Reds, and maybe having like a Frank Robinson, some guys who played with the Reds and have become stars.
Yeah, that would be definitely great. And I'm sure a lot of people would want to listen and learn about that, especially the younger generations. They can see why these things, why these doors and opportunities were opened. We, of course, are coming to the point of the show. This is George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday, where we hear and listen to Coach Foster's Catalyst Player of the Week.
I would have to, with he starting to hit again, Bryce Harper starting to, he's the leader, become the leader of the Nats, and swing the bat very well, and had 25 home runs. He's second, or tied for second in the National League, or the Major League, because John Carlos Stanton has the most, but with John Carlos being out, he's the active leader, or tied with Todd Frazier as being the leader. So he's making a big impact on with the Nats being where they are, and without him, it's going to be tough for them to stay, maintain their first place status.
Yes, isn't it tough when you only have one star that's sort of holding up the team? I mean, just like other with basketball and LeBron, like how are they able to sustain that high performance role?
Well, as long as the opposition is pitching to him, but what's going to happen, they're going to find out they will stop pitching to him and pitch to whoever's behind him. So it's important not only who's in front of you, but who's hitting behind you. And if you have a guy behind him that he may hit, but he's not a power hitter, you can keep him in the ballpark. He's not a power hitter like Bryce Harper. So that's going to be key for the second half. What person will be hitting behind him and being able to hit in clutch situations, because they're going to either walk Bryce Harper intensely or pitch around him.
What about Taylor for the Nats? He also did pretty well on Saturday.
Well, he's a young player, and he's not a power hitter. And so they need Jason Worth back to at least having somebody who's a threat behind Bryce Harper. So it may end up that Bryce Harper lead off again, but right now it's okay because they're not pitching around him. But I guarantee you when the second half starts, they're going to be teams, especially the teams that are competing in that division with the Nats, they will pitch around Bryce and force the guy who's behind him to come up the bat with in key situations.
Yeah, so right now it's the top of the seventh. The Nats are up 2-1, and again, Taylor and Bryce are doing well. But like you said, it's having multiple threats and a deep pitching staff, and those are the teams that are going to be holding off in the end. Correct.
Right, and then having a strong bench, because Bryce is going to get tired, and he need a day off now and then to regroup. Physically he may be there, but mental part, you need to sometimes be able to sit back and watch the game unfold. When you're out there day in and day out, you may make mistakes because you're mentally tired. So that day off here and there will be a big help.
That's true. Finding the right time to take a day off. What about your highlight?
That's why it's important for the manager to observe that.
I mean, now, yeah, it's definitely a fine line because they had that decision with Strasburg a while ago, and it was too early.
Right.
Take him out, like you said. Who or what team had the highlight play of the week?
I would have to go back with the Astros. They're still playing. They're playing better ball than I thought at this time of the year. And they have guys who, with Altuve, of course, making the All-Star team at second base, he's been a catalyst on that ball club. And he's a small guy, but he does a great job out there. And the thing, back when we talk about conditioning, this guy has a great conditioning program during the off-season, and it's paying off during the course of the year. And if everybody else would follow suit, and plus you got a lot of young players, young, hungry players on that ball club. They've done well in drafting players. That shortstop, Correa, he's doing a great job. A young guy that swings the bat well. So everybody want to be able to go in the game and help the ball club be the winner. And that's what you want. Find out what role you can put yourself in that's going to be helpful to help that ball club win.
Yeah, that's key. I think when everything just clicks, when everyone knows their role, it becomes like clockwork.
Right. Very true.
We're so excited for the Home Run Derby and then the All-Star Game on Tuesday, and everyone must stay tuned tomorrow for the draft picks, for the roster picks for the All-Star teams, National League and American League. You, of course, are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report every Sunday evening. Tell us your thoughts. Feel free to call in. Call in numbers 347-539-597. We would love to hear what you have to say and your thoughts or experiences with baseball. And now we're at the point where we're going to go over the George Foster wrap-up, the scores for this evening. The Yankees fell to the Tampa Bay 8-1. Toronto came out with a W against Detroit, the Detroit Tigers, 10-5. Milwaukee came out with a W against Cincinnati, 6-1. Cleveland fell to Pittsburgh, 5-3. Houston fell also to Boston. Boston's coming back, 5-4. Philadelphia came out with a W against the Atlanta Braves, 4-1. And the Orioles came out with a W against the Chicago White Sox, 9-1. Minnesota fell to Kansas City, 3-2, still with a close one. San Diego fell to St. Louis, the Cardinals, 3-1. Miami fell to Chicago Cubs, 0. Seattle came out with a W, close one as well, against Oakland, 2-1. The Rockies came out with a W against Arizona, 6-4. And the Mets blanked out the Dodgers, 8-0. And the Angels came out with a big W against Texas Rangers, 12-6. And currently, the Nats in my backyard are playing at an 8 o'clock game, and they're in the top of the 7th right now, and the Nats are up 2-1 against San Francisco. And the Nats are actually playing the Reds Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so that should be a good game as well. Any closing words, Coach Foster?
Well, we talked earlier about training and being in so you stay healthy. And we didn't talk much about as far as salaries are concerned or what guys get paid, but it just really makes sense. They talk about the first wealth is health. So being able to stay healthy, because they're going to have people who are not health or that are wealthy that are not healthy. So if you can stay healthy, that's priceless.
Oh, that is certainly true. No matter if you're the highest or getting the highest paid, having that health to sustain that salary is key. And it's hard when you become busy with endorsements and appearances in addition to playing the game, but you still need to keep that strong practice up of staying healthy. And yes, definitely a huge topic is the salaries and the negotiation, which we definitely should have a great conversation of that on our next show. And when we have our next show, we will be right in the midst of All-Star Weekend, so we'll have great news to tell our fans, and thank you so much for tuning in. You are listening to the George Foster Diamond Report, and as you know, it's about the strength, it's about the performance, and it's about the development of an athlete. Signing off, this is Star with Coach Foster on George Foster Diamond Report.
Good night, everyone.
Have a good evening.
Robinson waits. Here comes the pitch. And there goes a line drive to left field. Swan is after it. He leaps. It's over his head.